Hey, welcome to the Home Care Hub, the podcast version of the Home Care Advocacy Network. Today we are discussing reshaping the funnel for senior living. And my name is Mark Goetz. I'm the president and CEO of the Home Care Advocacy Network. And I'm with Aaron McMartin today on our part two. Aaron is our vice president of development for the Home Care Advocacy Network.
Hi, Mark. Good to be here.
Aaron, good to have you back. We were beginning to get in we had a really good discussion last week that talked about, you know, if a senior living provider isn't providing services to their future residents, someone else is. And we're continuing that discussion of widening the funnel. And when we talk about the funnel, last week we laid the base for a private duty agency that a senior living provider would have that provides a new caregiver base, a new client base, adds client services off campus as a standard, keeps those services on campus as well, and really provides an opportunity for decision makers who are 40 to 70 year old females in general who want choice, assistance, and relationship for their mom or dad who, you know, oftentimes home care agencies are the eyes and ears for the family, and they want just a little bit more service because home care is 99.9% of the time a values-based purchase. And so this week in part two, we want to continue to hit on why, you know, home care, I think, has been underestimated by some who have tried to get into this business. So if you're a senior living provider, you may have tried this in the past and you say, as we talked about last week, it just didn't work, or, you know, I just don't think it works in our market. It's a little different here. And so we're going to kind of debunk some of those things and hopefully, most importantly, encourage people to make the decisions they need to make in providing this extended service for their organization. At HCAN, we also work with individuals as well. Aaron, this week, as we're getting to know you a little bit more, you have a lot of history in franchising, and you've seen successful franchisees, and you've seen franchisees really be challenged in their success. Could you share with us maybe the top one or two qualities that you look for as you're trying to assess who would be successful if the timing is right for them? Tell us about that purchase.
Yeah. So Mark, what I always enjoy doing is being very, very direct with candidates as they're going through the process of exploration, of discovery of any franchise that they're looking at. And so that really has several different components. The first is to have them understand a very clear idea of what a day in the life of a franchisee is like. So what do you wake up and do? And what are you doing all day? Or what's your week look like, or your month look like? And really go through that in such detail that if any component of that is something, Mark, that they don't feel comfortable with, or they don't think they'd be very good at, or they don't have any experience in and want to understand more about how they're supported doing that particular thing, that they can start to envision that in their head.
Yep.
Because, at the conclusion of each step that I take them through, and typically it's an 8 to 10 step process. At the conclusion of each step, I will say to them, so Mark, based on what you know so far, does this sound like something that you'll wake up in the morning and love being a part of and look forward to doing? So they put themselves in the role of the franchisee. And so I want them to say anything about, you know what, something that you said kind of made me concerned. Great. Let's talk about that. Let's determine if that's something that is a potential point of failure for you, or if it's something you just need to understand more about, or perhaps talk with other franchisees and understand, you know, how important that is to them and what that meant to them and what their experience was with that, and determine whether or not that's something that you're going to feel uncomfortable with moving forward or not. And so really it's helping them, that one component is helping them understand what the ins and outs of being a franchisee is like. Another, of course, is the passion there? Is the culture fit there? When I talk with them, do they remind me of other franchisees that we have? Do they remind me of you and the executive team? Do they remind me of myself? You know, are they passionate about doing this, or are they looking just for another business to make money at? Because you know what? There are thousands of franchise concepts out there that they can go and make money at doing that maybe don't require that level of passion, that enthusiasm, that culture fit.
Yep.
But to be a fit, certainly in the perspective of HCAN, to be a fit with our model, we need people who are going to be a great fit culturally for us. Those that are going to plug into what we're doing, they're going to expand our vision and expand what we're doing and simply be an extension of us. And so that is always going to be a key component. And then finally, someone who follows a process. You know, if I hear someone say, oh, well, I think that's the first thing I'd change if I went into this business, that's a red flag for me. Yep. Okay, pause right now. Why would you want to change anything? You're paying a percentage of your income to this organization. You should not go in wanting to change things right away. So is that something that is going to be, again, a point of failure for us? We should talk about that. And by the way, when I take them through these steps, they're going through a process with me. And if they indicate to me that they can't follow my process, then that indicates to me that they're not going to be a process follower. And that's a huge thing. And so those tend to be the top three things I look for when I'm talking with a franchise candidate and deciding, are you a good fit for our opportunity? Because we don't sell franchises at HCAN, Mark. We award franchises.
Gotcha.
It's a mutual evaluation. And so we're evaluating them just like they're evaluating us. And at the end, we have to agree, is this a great fit for all considered?
Well, Aaron, let's jump into, and thank you for that. That was awesome. Tell me, let's talk about the synergies that exist between home care companies and senior living. And then, you know, we'll talk how they're different, but then talk about bridging the gap between those, because there's no reason. So in our line of sight at HCAN and in studying the market and looking at it for a number of years now, and in working deep inside of the largest home care franchise in the world, and then working deep inside of one of the largest senior living providers in the United States, our line of sight is that senior living is really poised to become the largest provider of in-home services over the next 10 years. Now,
absolutely.
Might take 15, might take, you know, it could be 10, might take 15, but they're poised to kind of not just retake, but really overtake the market. And we're really excited about that because these organizations have invested millions of dollars in physical plants. They have great brand awareness locally, most likely. They've invested in the community. They have staff.
Yep.
They're most likely a trusted name in their community. And so for us to empower them is really exciting. The expansion of mission. A majority of these organizations are organizations that have some level of mission trying to do good in their DNA. So it's still not a fit for everybody as a business, but it could be if we find the right pockets from a mission perspective. Now, when we talk about the synergies, there's take us through some of the differences, and then we'll just have some of the discussions and maybe why home care for senior living has been an underestimated business model for them.
Yeah, well, you know, when we talked about the synergies in the last episode, we talked about the fact that these organizations, they want to have a great staff that is educated and is committed to them. And so we talked about how taking them through the home care model allows them to grow. And that's a big deal. How they find clients, you know, they go out and they try to find clients, you know, in a specific way, whereas having a feeder system of a home care model gives them that client base, gives them that funnel already and allows them to take advantage of that. And, you know, yes, these people want choice, but chances are if you've established that rapport and that relationship, that trust, they're going to come to you. They're going to stay with you. And then, of course, your referral base is important as you build this business, and the ability to rely on those people to come in and be a part of your clientele as you move forward. You know, reliance on services like A Place for Mom and other types of organizations like that. These facilities are working with these kinds of organizations. Is that the best way to have that client base come in, and what's that churn look like, and what's the cost to be a part of that? What are they paying to be a part of that? And you know, if that income can already be something that's a part of their bottom line, or perhaps a different division of what they're doing, then they become their own feeder system, and that's extraordinary. And that's, of course, a benefit. From a challenges perspective, you know, these organizations are great at doing what they do. And so, you know, if you've read Good to Great, you know, you understand that Jim Collins says, you know, be great at one thing and just be that one thing. And so I think a lot of organizations have decided we are a facility based provider. This is what we're great at. This is what we want to do. That's our hedgehog, if you're familiar with Jim Collins. And so that's the thing that we do, and we do well. And so we don't want to dilute, whether it's our leadership team or our resources, our HR, you know, whatever it is, we don't want to dilute that by going into a space that we're not that comfortable with, that we don't have a lot of experience with, that, you know, we aren't necessarily great at. And so, as we talked about in the previous episode, the ability to plug into a system that brings that greatness with it, that brings that experience with it, that is something that they can say, okay, we don't have to be great at that. We've got a support mechanism in HCAN to provide that to us and to provide that experience and that greatness for us, because that's what they're great at. That's what they decided to build a business around. And so, you know, how can we benefit from that? And so that synergy is fantastic. Now, on the flip side, you've got, you know, their software systems. You've got their HR systems, their payroll. You've got things that are already established typically. And so what we hear almost every time that we talk to these organizations is, what is your, what's your system built on? What's your platform? How do you do this? How do you deal with, you know, managing the employees, and how do you pay the employees, and how does that look? And so that's something that's not always going to be synergistic. In fact, we have found it to not be the case. But the great thing is that we bring those platforms on with us. We give them those systems and processes that they can plug in and utilize. And while it may not be what they're currently using, we bring in the experience of that. We bring the success of that, so they don't have to learn new software, new platform, and things of that nature. They just say, okay, you guys run this for us and show it how it works with what you've got. And we are certainly able to do that and help them understand how it can work seamlessly once they've plugged into that.
Yeah, I think there's a misnomer when it comes to Good to Great and the hedgehog concept. So case in point, you know, and my 14-year-old son likes to goad me on this all the time when he learns how much Amazon stock I owned in 1997 that I currently don't own. You know, Amazon at the time was a bookseller, and it was going through, you know, massive digital transformation. And it was this gray area. As you think about the sigmoid curve, you either reinvent yourself at some point, or you continue to die off. And of course, they were an organization that made the turn big time, you know, coming out of that digital revolution. So my 14-year-old son kids me about that all the time, and it does pain me at time. I don't lose sleep over it anymore, but I used to. So now we're on to bigger and better things, but because there's always tomorrow. So, but Amazon, you know, and the hedgehog concept, So should have they just stayed with selling books? I mean, is it a bad thing? No, absolutely. No, everybody would think like that's a ridiculous concept, that Amazon should have just stuck to what they know. And that's, you know, buying and selling of books. That's, you know, it's crazy to think that. And I think it's an important note as we talk about this, because how you see who you are is very important to establishing this new funnel that we're talking about here in part two.
Right.
Because the funnel is really, in our line of sight, is the funnel is it starts when people are reaching out for care, which has been missing in large part to the overall model that senior living has operated on. So similar to Amazon. So Amazon, what, you know, the people were buying books, but they were also buying other things digitally, maybe ahead of a book purchase or with a book. So they began to bring those synergies together. And that's in large part what we are hoping to do over the next 10 to 15 years with senior living.
That's right. Yeah. These individual are these institutions think that this is what they're great at and they can't do anything else, but innovation is the key to success in many, many instances in the past. And so we can bring that innovation to their system.
Yeah,
and they can just plug it in and play on it. So,
and it isn't easy. So there are some things that I wanted to camp on just for a few minutes today. So software, it says, you know, one of our points that we wanted to make known to our listeners are it does most likely take a different software. So, you know, senior living organizations, in large part from a timekeeping perspective, just keeping track of your employees and how many hours they worked, you know, in large part, they're on some standard systems. Kronos is a system that is out there. They do have a mobile part to that, but the home care industry has evolved. They have their own mobile check-in. They have their own mobile care plan software, their own mobile systems for taking care of the business from a billing perspective. And those have evolved greatly over the last 7 to 10 years with a lot of investment from Silicon Valley and organizations really trying to figure out the home care conundrum, if you will. And so because you need your needs are very different in home care. So that is a hurdle that we've jumped over with HCAN, and we solve for our clients along with, you know, the onboarding experience. So when you think about home care, so I'll just go back to when I worked for like inside of senior living. So I worked for a senior living organization that owned their own home care. So they had that, they really had the HCAN model. But what I saw within the organization was when I compared it to my experience at the largest franchising company in the world that did home care, things that were just wouldn't even be considered opinion in the franchising home care company were now opinion inside of senior living. Like, well, yeah, I don't know if I would do that. And for us previously in the senior care world, it was like, these were kind of no brainer decisions and discussions. So one of those things is the onboarding experience. So when I came into the senior living organization, our onboarding experience for a caregiver, for instance, so a caregiver inquires about a job within home care, and from first inquiry of them saying, hey, I may want to be a caregiver, to first shift, overall, like best in class is 5 to 8 days of that employee from the first time they inquire about wanting to be a caregiver to their first shift. And the stats are easily verified that employees who get from first inquiry to first shift in that period of time have a higher likelihood of staying with your organization. When I worked for the senior living organization, this is nothing against them. This is just systematically not understanding the home care world. In some parts of our organization, it was 6 weeks for the home care caregiver. So what we've done in HCAN is we've shortened that process to be able to provide what the franchisee, in this case, it's the senior living organization, needs to operate their own onboarding experience that's concurrent, that is synergistic with their larger organization, meets their core values, but improves on the overall efficiency. There are different regulations within home care compared to senior living. And I think this is worth a discussion. So from a recruiting perspective, oftentimes, if you're in a senior living organization, you've tried to do home care, what generally happens, and this is, we'll share this later on in another podcast episode with our partners from HKG Insurance and Doug Gillespie. What happens is, generally speaking, senior living will have one or two people oftentimes in their HR department. And it really doesn't matter how big the organization is. You could have 300 residents or 1,000 residents, two, maybe three people that are really driving employee recruiting, retention, et cetera. So they're overworked and understaffed, generally speaking. Absolutely. Yeah. So what happens is if you have a home care business, if you're in the HR department, you have to recruit for top of license personnel first. LPNs, RNs, people that by the state, because of the payer system, you have to have those people to keep your license and to stay within regulation. So what happens is when you have more of a sales-based culture that's providing services off campus with caregivers and maybe a lesser licensed individual to deliver those services, it automatically takes a back seat. So because this is a, you know, I would consider home care, it's more of a labor shortage business. You know, you're trying to recruit right. people, you're trying to improve that experience. That's why yep. within our organization at the time, you know, the onboarding experience was 6 weeks. Now, I think with focus, you can improve that, and we certainly did over time with that organization, but never got to the standard that home care companies were used to operating on. So that's one of our goals with HCAN is to improve that, as well as providing a way for the you know, a format for them to expand their business. Sometimes if you get into the business of home care, you will overfund your internal team. So you're running at a loss a lot longer than what you need to. And that does not make any CFO happy. And there's really different marketing and lead sources, and it takes a different kind of leader as well to run more of an entrepreneurial based business that goes out. You know, you're your own marketing arm, you're your own service arm, you're your own training arm. And so it does take a unique mix of leadership to do that. You can't just put a director of nursing into place for your home care business and expect it to grow. That person most likely, especially through COVID, is also overworked and stressed out. So the idea of going out and marketing a business when you're taking care of the needs of your residents on campus, it's just not going to happen.
You need someone who's out there in the community, involved in the community, well, as much as they can be with COVID the way that it is, and depending on where they live. But they need to be visible, they need to be involved, they need to build those relationships with community leaders and market their business in a very different way. But you know, the right person can do that and be very comfortable in that environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So it really comes down to software, the onboarding experience, regulations, the org model, the marketing and lead sources, as well as the leadership. So what we're really seeking to do and what we're doing at HCAN is providing, you know, the fill in the gap between
That's right.
your senior living organization and then building this new funnel that you most likely intuitively know that you need. What we do is we help lessen the risk in that decision that you already know that you need to make. So
That's right.
we're excited yeah. to be a part of that. So, you know, as always, you can contact us at partner@hcanthrive.com. Aaron, any closing thoughts today for our listeners?
No, I'm just, anxious to talk to those individuals that are interested in learning more and understanding how we're doing things and how we're working together with these facilities and in these communities. We're very, very excited about this model, as they've probably heard. And been able to tell in us talking. And so just looking forward to talking with like-minded individuals and seeing how we might be able to work together.
Again, you know, we are a business format home care franchise for senior living providers and an entrepreneur-driven franchise for those who want to be their own boss and make a difference. And we are excited to be playing a role in aging services, in developing a new vision that a lot of others can play a part in. And so, Aaron, thank you for your time. As always,
my again, pleasure, Mark.
Contact us at partner@hcanthrive.com. That's HCANTHRIVE.com. And we will see you next week.